talk a little bit about Kodesh Elul, but first, let's open up to Daf Kuf Dalet. If we learn a little shtickle here in Kalapasa, I'll be very happy. And we'll see Baita in terms of, you know, how to work out the schedule. For me, it's a little bit easier in the afternoon, but I like to do it at the end, towards the end of the Seder. But we'll work it out. We'll try to see what the consensus is, as they say. So the Mishnah establishes at the beginning of Kol HaBasar an Iser Halal al HaShulchan. Basar lahalos imagvina al HaShulchan. And the Mishnah includes in this Iser Halal not just Basar, but Oaf as well, because the Mishnah mentions Oaf. So Maskif, we have here a Kash Omer of Yosef Shmamina Basar Oaf Becholim Do Raisa. So we're now on Daf Kuf Dalet, five lines up before the end of the Amud. And Rav Yosef wants to prove from our Mishnah that the Mishnah holds that Basar Oaf Becholim is Do Raisa. And we'll see that that's against the Shita of Rabbi Akiva and others. So how does Rav Yosef prove this from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah holds that Basar Oaf is the Orais? So he proves it from arguing from the opposite position. And he says the following. De'is al kedaitach, if you're going to argue that Basar Oaf becholov is the Orais, then would it be possible that, I'm sorry, let's go the other way around. Shmamino Basar Oaf Becholov Do Raisa. The Isal Kedaita Derabbanan, because if you were to argue that Basar Oaf Becholov is only Derabbanan, is Achila Gufa, that means that eating Basar Oaf Becholov is Derabbanan, is Ixera, because he might come to eat Basar Behema with Cholov, which is Do Raisa. So we now have an Iser Oaf Becholov, that's Derabbanan, unto Basar Becholov. Now you can extend it beyond Achila, and you're going to say, V'chianan Nigzar Al Halah, we're going to take an Iser Halah, they can't be on the same table, we're talking about Basar Oaf Begvina, because if we put them on the same table, we're afraid that it'll eat them together, unto Achila, and in the worst case scenario, if they eat them together, Basar of Becholov, he's violating Gzera Otu Basar Behema Becholov. So it comes out that we're making Gzera onto Gzera. And Rav Yosef is going to now quote a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Chala to try to prove that we don't have Gzera of Halah Otu Gzera. So again, just before we see his proof, let's just try to understand his logic. The underlying logic of Rav Yosef is that if Basar Oaf Becholov is only Derabbanan, which means that Achila Gufa is only Derabbanan, then to make a Gzera of Halah Otu Achila is already a Gzera on top of a Gzera. A Gzera L'Gzera. Now, as you know, the end of the Sugya is Omale Abaye. And Abaye is going to say that there's a difference between the case of Chala and the case of Basar Oaf Becholov, so that Abaye is going to try to defend the position which Rav Yosef rejects, that even if Basar Oaf is the Rabbanon, it would still make sense that the Rabbanon would institute this Gzera of Halah. So you can have Halah of Oaf Becholov as an Iser Gzera, even though Oaf itself is a Gzera Atu Basar Behem. So we'll try to understand, number one, the logic of Rav Yosef, and number two, why Abaye disagrees. Now, there's something very important here in Rashi, which Amir Hashem will get to. But first, let's try to see the raya of Rav Yosef from the Mishnah in Chala. Minah Tamer Delo Gazrinan Gzera L'Gzera. How do we know that Halah is not an official gzera if it's only gzera otu adrabbana, and that would be a gzera l'gzera. I know ein chacham goes from gzera l'gzera. This non chalas chutz l'aretz. So chala is a mitzvah tluya be'eretz Yisrael. It has the same status, let's say, as truma. Again, there are distinctions between chala and truma, which we'll get to, maybe not today, but another time. And to the same extent that truma is a mitzvah atluya ba'aretz, so too chala is a mitzvah atluya ba'aretz. But nevertheless, the Rabbanon made a gzera, and they told the Tzar that he's not allowed to eat chalas chutzlaretz. The Torah would allow a Tzar to eat chalas chutzlaretz because chala is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. Now, let's say the Tzar wants to eat chalas chutzlaretz on a table where someone else, let's call him a Kohen, is eating the challah, and he's eating something that's not challah. So let's say I want to invite a Kohen to eat on my table. I'm going to eat chulin, he's going to eat challah. Well, if he's eating challah Eretz Yisrael, then to the extent that halal ashulchan might lead me to achila, what kind of isur am I violating if I'm eating truma or challah doraisa? Or doraisa. But if on the other hand it's in chutz laretz, and the Kohen is eating chalas chutzlaretz, which he's allowed to eat, but I'm a zara, I'm not allowed to eat chalas chutzlaretz. But even in the worst case scenario, if I would eat chalas chutzlaretz, I would only be violating an isur derabbanan, which is gzera to chalas eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, necheles im azar al ashulchan, you're allowed to invite a Kohen to eat chalas chutzlaretz on the same table in which the zara is eating chulin. And we're not afraid that the zara might come to eat the challah, because even if he eats the challah, it's only going to be an Issur d'Rabbanan. And here we see, says Rav Yosef, the principle, that you're not going to make a gzera atu because you're afraid it might lead to a violation of an Issur d'Rabbanan. So that, what's the difference, says Rav Yosef, between the following two scenarios? Halas of al ashulchan with gvina, and halas chalas chutzlaretz on a shulchan with chulin in this case, correct? In both cases, we're talking about an Isra halah. In both cases, we're afraid that he might come to eat what the other person is eating or whatever else is on the shulchan, correct? So how is it possible that in the case of challah, we're going to allow halah? Because we're going to say, well, even in the worst case scenario, if he eats the challah, it's only challah's chutzlaretz, and that's only derabbanan. So by prohibiting halah of chalas chutzlaretz on the shulchan with the chulin, then you're involved in gzeira l'gzeira. So therefore, the Mishnah said it's okay, because what are we afraid of? We're afraid that you'll eat chalas chutzlaretz. That itself is a gzeira. Says Rav Yosef, then how could it be that our Mishnah prohibits halah in the case of of gvina? Because in the worst case scenario, if you violate of b'cholav, it's only the rabbanon. So again, it would be exactly identical to the case of halas challah in chalas chutzlaretz. And to the same extent with matir chalas chutzlaretz and halah, we should be matir of in chutzlaretz. That's all if you assume that of is what is the rabbanon. But if you assume, bishlam, if you assume that of is the raisa, then it makes sense. Then we're afraid that you'll eat the of together with the gvina on the shulchan echa. That's not like the case of chalas chutzlaretz, which is only the rabbanon. That's the simple pshat in the sugya. And the upshot of the sugya is that according to Rav Yosef, we must assume in our Mishnah, if there's an Isra law in the case of Of, Begvina, it must be because Of is only, and that Of must be Doraisa, it couldn't be Derabbanan. So let's just formulate the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. We understand Rav Yosef on a very, very straightforward level. We don't need any great union here. Rav Yosef's argument is relevant. The Rabbanan could institute a Gzera Otu Adoraisa, but to institute a Gzera Otu a violation which would be a Derabbanan, if the mistake that we're afraid of is only a violation of a Derabbanan, so that the Rabbanan itself is a gzera. So what are you doing? You're being marking him from something which in and of itself is a gzera. That's called Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. I think the background to this is simply that the Torah doesn't authorize the Chachamim to simply make Isurim, to create Isurim. Again, asu mishmeres lo mishmarati, the chachamim are enjoined to create a harchaka, but that's because of the doraisa. So we start with the doraisa, and if there's a need to avoid some sort of mistake in which will violate the doraisa, the rabbanon are allowed and even obligated to institute a gzera. But that's only because it's litzarach. You know, there's a definite need to institute a gzera if doing X might lead to violating a doraisa. But glad the velder I know just to stop come up with a new gzera and say, well, you know what, we made a gzera and that was okay because it was meant to be marking someone for a doraisa. Now we're gonna enact another gzera, and we're gonna say that the second gzera is gonna avoid the possibility of his violating another gzera, which was the issa drabanan. So to say that I should add a gzera onto a drabanan, that makes no sense. Says Rav Yosef, well, let's look it up. If you're going to tell me that Basar of Bechalav is the Rabbanan, how can the Rabbanan add an Isar Halav because it'll lead to him eating when the eating of Chalav, of the eating of Basar of Bechalav itself is Xera? It's only a rabbinic enactment. So the Rabbanan have a right to make that a rabbinic enactment of Of Bechalav because it might lead to Basar Behema Bechalav. And the Rabbanan are given the green light to make this gzera onto a doraisa. But now, after they institute their gzera, now they're going to come along and make another gzera because it might lead to violating the first gzera, which is only the Rabbanan as a gzera. So we're going to asar halah because it might lead to his eating basar of b'chol. Who cares if he eats basar of b'chol? That's only a gzera the Rabbanan. So I understand where you are justified. The Rabbanan have the license to enact an Iser Gzera Drabanan in the case of Ov, but when we're talking about Achilas Ov, because if you're talking about Achilas Ov, it might lead to Achilas Basar Behema B'Cholav, which is a Doraisa. So that's called Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti Asu Siyag LaTorah. But now you establish an Iser Achil of Ov B'Cholav, and now you can make a Gzera of Halah, because he might come to violate what? The Iser Ov B'Cholav? That itself is a gzera to a doraisa. So bishlam the first gzera nicha, but a second gzera we're not going to make. Masha'ein, can if I hold it at Mishnah, reflects the opinion that basar of b'chalav is doraisa. Now we're afraid that if you do the halah, you're going to come to eat basar of b'chalav, and basar of b'chalav is doraisa. So the rabbanan are legitimately licensed to make such a gzera. So the only way we can justify our Mishnah of the Israel law in the case of Of is if we assume that Of is doraisa. And he demonstrates this from the case of Chalas Chutzlaret. So you want to make a gzera on Chalas Chutzlaret Otu that you'll eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael, that makes sense, because Zar Sha'achal Chalas Eretz Yisrael Doraisa, that's a terrible violation. But to say that now that we instituted a gzera Asering Chalad Derabana Chalas Chutzlaret, now we're going to say, well, don't be Malal HaShulchan, because if you're Malal HaShulchan, you're eating Chul and he's eating Chalas Chutzlaret, he's going to violate these with Chalas Chutzlaret, when Chalas Chutzlaret itself is only a gzera drug. So that's, I think, the simple pshat in Rav Yosef. Okay. Now, what is the shita of Abaye? Abaye completely rejects this. And again, he differentiates between chalas chutzlaretz and which now is located in Chutzlar, it's correct, and the case of Halos Gvina, Halos Of Gvina. But is Abaye not aware of this principle called Ein Gozer Gzera L'Gzera? I think that Rashi is bothered by this question. Meaning it's not enough, what I'm trying to say is to find, it's not satisfactory to just tell me that Abaye rejects the proof of Rav Yosef, the Tzushta. That's not enough. You know, yeah, for sure Abaye's going to have a very profound argument here to be machalik between the case of Halah and Chalas Chutzlaretz, where there's no Chalas Chutzlaretz at all to be had, as opposed to Basar Of, where, you know, Basar Of, where there's plenty of Basar Behema to be had. But what about the principle of Ein Gozer Gzera L'Gzera? So I can't tell you that I understand every single word in this Rashi. I'm not going to tell you that. Rashi is here on Kuf Daled Amud Beis, Dira Maskal Avol Hocha. But I think I got something out of this Rashi that could help me. about Shitas Abaye and why this is not, even if Oph is the Rabbanon, it's not Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. Because Rashi says something about Halah in Basar and Halah in Oph. So if you take a look at Rashi Abul Hacha, the beginning of the Rashi, he speaks about Halas Oph. And then he says, Ikal Migzar Haloso, you know, there is justification to make this Gzeirah. Again, as we said before, the Rabbanon have to have some sort of a license. You need a tzorech in order to get up and make a Gzeirah. So how, what tzorech is there in making this Gzeirah of Halas Ofal HaShulchan? So Rashi connects it with Halas Basar Behema. Now, why does Rashi have to connect Halas Oph with Halas Basar? I mean, Rashi should have just said simply that if he eats Basar Oph Becholov, which again, once you put them on the table together, the Gvina and the Oph, he might come to eat it. Well, if he's going to eat that together, then he might eat Basar Behema together with Gvina. Do you follow my question? Why does Rashi have to introduce here the word halah? When he talks about basar behema, you see that extra word halah? If you leave out that word halah, everything would make sense. And that is that we are justified in making this gzera that if you have halah, you'll end up with achilas of becholov. And then it's very easy for him to make the next step and mistakenly allow himself to eat achilas basar the gvina becholov, correct? No, Rashi puts all the emphasis on halah. So I'd like to suggest the following. We said before that the problem that Rav Yosef is raising is that how did the Rabbanan have the right to make this gzera of halah in the case of Oph, when, in the worst case scenario, he's going to come to eat the Oph with Gvina, which itself is only Derabbanan. Derabbanan don't have a license to do so. It's not a litzorech. You need a pressing urgency. And here we don't have it because, okay, so he'll eat it. And if he eats it, it's only Gzeira anyway, it's only Derabbanan. Comes along Rav Abaye, the way I think Rashi is saying it, and he says, no. There's no problem, there's no blockage preventing the Rabbanon from enacting the Gzeirah of Halas Ofal HaShulchan and Gvina. There's no objection here to say it's Shelo Litzorech. Why? Because they never made such a Gzeirah. There never was a Gzeirah of Iser Halas Of Becholah. That was not made as a gzera as a separate entity. There was a gzera called what? Halah. What was included in that halah? The Iser halah would be any basar that's asur. Whether it's asur d'oraisa or asur d'rabbanan, it makes no difference. Once the Rabbanan have the Iser halah, they're going to extend that Iser halah to include both basar of and basar behema. That's what I think Rashi is pointing out of here. The reason why Rashi is compelled to emphasize halas basar behema is because Rashi wants to show you that the iser halas of im gvina was not a separate gzera, but rather was swallowed up, so to speak, by the enactment of the chachamim of halah in general. There was a general, all-inclusive iser halah of any form of basar with gvina. And once the Rabbanan had the right to do so, then you cannot object and say, well, ain goes with gzera l'gzera. This was all part of the gzera of halas basar behema. Once they made the gzera of halas basar behema, they had a choice. They could have limited it to basar behema, or they could have expanded it to include all categories of basar that have any sort of relationship to the Iser of basar behema, meaning any sort of Iser of basar b'chala. And then what they did was they decided that basar of is also included in that gzera of halah. So they really didn't go out of their way to make a separate takana and a separate gzera on halah's oath. That, Rabbi Yosef is correct. Even Abai would agree that's objectionable, because how could you institute a gzera halah or to Oaf, which is itself the Rabbanon? The answer is that the Gzeres Halah was an all-inclusive Gzeres Halah, which related not just to Basar, meaning Basar Behavior, but even to Oaf. I'm going to try to fit this in to one line in the Rosh Yosef. You know, the Prima Gadol wrote a work of Chidushim on Masechet Chulin called Rosh Yosef. And he writes the following. Again, it's one line, but I think it's meaningful. He says, first he quotes the Rashi, and he says the following. Ein kan ela gzera mishum halah. You hear the language of the Prima Gadol. He says, Ein kan ela gzera mishum halah. V'alos basar ugvina yachad. Hu halas of ugvina yachad. The language of the Prima Gadol, it sounds like his agenda is to somehow, if you read his language meticulously, is to incorporate the Iser halas halas of into the gzera of halas bos. I don't know. Take a look at the Rosh Yosef and you'll decide for yourself.
It's very good in the Mishnah also, is that kol basar asur l'vashal b'chalav, and then asur l'alos in divina. It's kol basar.
Right, there is a parak which is called kol basar, as you say very well. Right. And that's not the gzera of halah. The gzera of halah is on the kol basar. Mm-hmm. So when it says v'asur l'alos, it means there was a gzera of halah on kol basar. If there would have been two gzeros, one gzera of halah on basar behema, a separate gzera of halah on ov, then Rav Yosef is absolutely correct. What gives the Rabbanan the green light to institute a gzeres halah on ov, when ov itself is the Rabbanan? But if you can assume that they, you know, agav urcha, by the by, you know, once they were instituting this enactment of a gzera of halah and basar, they included all forms of basar, then it wasn't a separate gzera that they got up and made it. Okay, but Rabosai, if this is the answer to Rav Yosef's problem, in other words, if Abaye is claiming that they included all types of basar, even oaf, which is the Rabbanon in the Gzera of Allah, together with basar, that's enough to justify the original enactment of an Isra Allah's oaf. It wasn't a separate Gzera unto itself, but it was part of the Gzera of halas bos. But what I'd like to prove to you and to myself, if I can, is that that's not satisfactory. What do I mean it's not satisfactory? It's correct, I think it's emes, but it's not enough. Lo sagi bahachi, we need something else. Meaning what I'm going to try to argue is that the problem of gzera l'gzera is not just the problem in what gave the Rabbanan on the heter of litzorech, such that there was a pressing need to enact a gzera. The problem is a different one, an additional one. Meaning, we talk about Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera as one concept, but really it breaks down, as I'm going to try to prove to you and to myself, into two separate contexts, two separate problems, or formulas, or principles. One principle is Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, meaning that you cannot make a gzera onto a gzera, and that's what we addressed until now. But I think that there's another halacha, an entirely different halacha, included under Ein Gzera, Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, and if that halacha exists, then I wonder how Abaye is going to solve this problem. So is everybody on board in terms of the, you know, the general framework, the structure? I want to try to prove, A, that there's another halacha of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, and B, that if there is this second halacha, the second category of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera exists, then we're going to be back to square one here. We won't be able to understand Abaye's comfort level with halas of al shulchan, because halas of al shulchan is not a valid gzeir for an entirely different reason, not because of the enactment, but because of what I call the application of the enactment. In Hebrew, I would call it befall of it. Now, we're not talking about the original gzeir. How did the gzeir get off the ground? That we can solve. We can say it was swallowed up in the gzeir of halas basar. But is God's faith in it? there's another category of Ein Gozer Gzeira L'Gzeira, and that comes under the application of the Gzeira. Now, where do I get this from? I'm going to try to base myself on a tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger. If anybody wants to look it up, it's tshuva Simon Chaf Ches. Now let's try to understand why Rabbi Kiveger is motivated to come up with a brand new category of Ein Gozer in Gzeira L'Gzeira. Rabbi Kiveger had a problem with a sugya Masechta Shabbos on Daf Yud Aleph. It starts on Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, goes on to Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And the sugya there deals with an overlap of two shvusim. What does that mean? There's one shvus, which is recorded in the Mishnah Shabbos on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, which prohibits a chayat, a tailor, from going out from Rishus HaYochanan to Rishus HaRabim on Erev Shabbos with a machat. A machat is considered something that's very subtle, very small. It's very easy to forget that you're holding on to a machat. So the Mishnah formulates a shvus d'rabbanan. Let the chayat not go out samach l'mincha. Again, what samach l'mincha is, you have to learn the sugya, whether it's right before Shabbos or it's after mincha gdol, after plaga mincha, whatever it might be, because he might carry it out to Rosh Hashanah unknowingly even after Shabbos starts, even after Shkiv. So the Gemara has a machlokas between Abai v'Rava about the following. What happens if he's taking out the machat into a karmelis? Karmelis itself is only a shvus d'rabbanan. So the question is, here we have an overlap of two shvusim. One shvus is lo yetzei machat im machto, and the other shvus is tiltul b'karmelis. So Rava says, we have a principle called shvus to shvus, which means if you have a double shvus, an overlap of two shvusim, it's aser, except b'makom choli or b'makom mitzvah. Now we're not talking about a makom chola. Chola means a chola shein bo sakana. We're not talking about a makom mitzvah. So therefore, Abai says it's an overlap of two shvusim and it's aser. Rava says it's mutter. So all the achronim ask the following question. Let's take the principle of shvus to shvus. Shalom b'makom mitzvah, shalom b'makom chol. Why is it awesome? We have a principle of ein gozer in gzeira l'gzeira. Is this some sort of chumrah on Shabbos? That because Shabbos is an isur skila, I can quote you other isurim which are chumrah, and yet we apply the principle of ein gozer in gzeira l'gzeira. So why is shvus to shvus asur? Why doesn't it come under the principle of ein gozer in gzeira l'gzeira? So the Achronim give the following answer. That there's a fundamental difference between Gozrin, or let's say Ein Gozrin, Gzeira L'Gzeira, and Shvus to Shvus. You'll see this in Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan and Be'er Yitzchak and many, many Achronim, and it's so glot, it's so, you know, smooth, you can't even budge without it. In the case of Ein Gozrin, Gzeira L'Gzeira, it means that the Rabbanu want to institute a Gzeira, because they're afraid that they have to distance you from the violation of another gzera. That's not what shvus to shvus is. Shvus to shvus means they made a shvus in the following scenario. They asked something. They made a shvus in another scenario, and now there happens to be an overlap of two shvusim. It's shnei shvusim shedarim b'kfifa achas b'chafifa achas, and then it's tarif to create an Iser, boy, because each shvus stands on its own. In other words, again, what the Achronim is saying here is that the problem of Ein Gozer L'Gzeira L'Gzeira is that you don't have a tzorech. What's going to push you and allow you, Chachamim, to enact a Gzeira onto another Gzeira? The whole purpose of the second gzeira, let's take Rav Yosef, right? The whole purpose of the Allah is that you shouldn't come to eat the oaf together with gvina. But that itself, oaf with gvina, is only the Rabbana. So what gives you the right, as we said before, to make this gzeira because you might come to violate another gzeira? That's saying goes from gzeira to gzeira, but you have two shvusim. The Rabbana made a shvus of Carmelis, he's a tiltu with Carmelis. The Rabbana made a shvus of Hotzoas Chayot Shalo Yotzi at Zamacha at Erev Shabbos Somach L'Shabbos, and each shvus stands on its own. I don't need any justification for why the Rabbanan instituted the shvus. One shvus is because he's going to confuse the Kabbalist with the Rishus HaRabbim. The other shvus is because he's going to forget that he's holding the Macha and he's going to walk out into Rishus HaRabbim on Shabbos itself. So Rabbi Kivega asks the following question: Abai is right and Rav is wrong, because Abai says that the Isur of Lo Yotzi Achayet Es Machto applies even in the case of a Karmelis. Why? Because in Shvus the Shvus is also on Shabbos. So Rav Kivega wants to know, we pass like Rav against Abaye, what happened to the principle of Shvus the Shvus? If Rava would have qualified and say, well, the Baka Mitzvah will allow it, or the Tzorah Chole is allowed, that's one thing. But we're not talking in those cases. So how could it be that Rav and Alocha Kamoso paskins that we could be makil here on a Shvus the Shvus? So Rav Kivega makes a breakthrough chiddush. Now this chiddush has two parts to it. I would have given him a prize for each one of these two chidushim. One chidush is that there's a difference between a shvus and a gzera. And he says that when there's an overlap of two shvusim, no question about it, Rava doesn't doubt it, it's also shalom makom mitzvah. Shalom makom. However, says Rabbi Kivega, that's only in the case of a shvus. We'll give an example of a shvus. The Mishnah says in Masechta Ksubis, this is a Gemara in Perek Afal Pi Adaf Samach, that in the case of nursing, of chaliva, is gonech yonek chalav b'shabbos. We're going to allow chaliva for the sake of a yonek on Shabbos. Yonek has the status of a chole because the child needs to nurse. My timer, says the Gemara, because this is called mefarek kilachar yad. This is not, in other words, chaliva is a tolda of mefarek. And here the mafarik is done kilachar yad. You're not separating the chaff from the kernel. You know, you're sucking from the mother's milk. That's called kilachar yad. So the question is the following: mafarik is a told of dash. We have a principle called ein disha el b'gdulei karka. I'm not expecting you to. Again, if you know these dinim, then I don't have to repeat myself. But if you don't know these dinim, don't feel like you're lost. I'm only trying to get to one point. The point is that the case of gonech, which is a kalachar yad, is a kalachar yad atu an iser molacha derabana. Why? Because what is it? It's a mafari kalachar yad, ain mafari kele b'gduli karka. So nursing, or for that matter, milking a cow on Shabbos, right, is not a violation of Melechas Dash, Melechas Mefarik Doraisa, because Ein Bishalo B'Gdulei Karka. Again, the Rambam has a different Shita, but I'm going to Rashi Shita. So what do we have over here? We need to be Matir, Genicha, you know, the Gonech, the Yonek, for the sake of Yenika. We're going to be Matir, a Mefarik, in the case of Chaliva, which is a Mefarik Kelachar Yah. Why do we need the whole business about anyone should be able to nurse, even if he's not a yonek, even if he's not crying out loud, I need my mother's milk. Forget about b'makom choli. Right, gonech yonek is a makom choli. Forget about b'makom choli. What are you talking about? You're talking about an iser of mafari kilachar yad, well, that's a very nice gzera, but even if he would be over that gzera, it would only be a drabbanon, because we're talking about chaliva bivalichayim, which is not bigduli karka. So the answer is, this is called shvus the shvus. Kilachar yad is called a shvus. Basically, you're accomplishing the same malacha, you're just doing it in a little different way. That's called a shvus. The Rabbanan see it as a malacha, says Rabbi Kibbe. The case of mafarik, which is shalobik duli karka, that's also a shvus. Why? Because this is a mafarik. It's exactly mafarik. It's a tsuris mafarik. It's a maleches mafarik. The only thing is, we have a rule that limits mafarik to what? To geduli karka. See, here you're missing the tenai of geduli karka. That's called a shvus. Says Rabbi Kiveger, but chayot hayotze b'machto, samach l'mincha, that's not a shvus. He's doing this Erev Shabbos. That's only a gzera. That's the first chiddush of Rabbi Kiveger. That if you have a gzera, not a shvus, meaning we're afraid that X will lead to Y, but we don't have a malacha. You can talk about a malacha when you're missing gedulei karka. There's a tnai that's missing. That's a malacha derabbanan. But you can talk about a different kind of a shvus, which is not a malacha derabbanan. It's only what? It's only a gzera derabbanan. We're afraid that if we allow him to do this, he might come to do this. It'll violate the Shabbos. Says Rabbi Kiveger, a big chiddush, that karmelis is only a gzera. It's not a malacha. Karmelis is by definition not a rishus harabim. The rabbanan said, if we allow you to carry in a karmelis tomorrow, you're going to come to carry in a rishus harabim. That's chiddush number one. Now we get to chiddush number two. Says Rabbi Kiveger, in two gzeros, we never aser two gzeros. This is the yesod of Rava. Rava is saying that if it's a chayot on Erev Shabbos into a karmelis, what you're saying is that he may do two different things and make two different mistakes. What is he going to make? What is he going to be confused about? Number one, he's going to be confused about Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. Number two, he's going to make another mistake. He'll be confused about a karmelis and a rishus harabim. That's called eight goes with gzera l'gzera. The only reason why we have an Iser Shvus to Shvus Shalom B'makom this, that's only because of the gather of Shvus as a Malacha D'Rabbanan. That upgrades it to a special status. But if you're talking simply about something that's not Aser unto itself, you know, there's no Malacha going on, he's carrying out the Machat on Erev Shabbos, or alternatively, he's taking it to a Karmelis, that's not a Rishus HaRabbis, so there's no Malacha. So what is it? It's a gzera. Says Rabbi Kiveger, if there's an overlap of two gzeras, and you have to assume that he will make mistake number one, and then it'll lead him to mistake number two, that's also included in goes with gzera and gzera. Again, please note, Rabbi Kiveger has no problem with the fact that the Rabbanan made these two gzeras. They enacted a gzera of a chayat on Erev Shabbos. They enacted a gzera of tiltul b'karmelis. That's fine. There's no, we don't need any justification for that, because each gzera unto itself is unto a daraisa of rishus harabim, of maleches hotzah daraisa. But Rabbi Kiveger's problem, he says, is, and that's what Rava was arguing against Abaye, is that if you have two gzeros and it means I'm going to have to make two mistakes, that's not asur. We're not going to apply one gzera and then another gzera and say, well, you might do this and you might do that. Ad kan Rabbi Kiveger. Wait, just give me 1 second, and then I'm sorry, if you don't mind. I just want to add one point here. This is Berzon talking, and again, please slug me up, but what I think is that I'm trying to convince myself is that we really have a problem here with Abaye. What do I mean with Abaye? Here in Kol HaBasar, maybe Abaye could solve the problem of how they enacted the original Gzeir of Halas Ov, because that was enough Shlepa, that was included in the Gzeir of what? Halas Basar. And that I can understand, there's no violation of Ein Goz and Gzeir L'Gzeir. But in the light of the Tshuva of Kiveger, there's another problem of Ein Goz and Gzeir L'Gzeir, a second halacha. And that's in the application. When you apply two Gzeiras to one scenario, that B'derech Mikra, there's an overlap of these two Gzeiras, which means that you might do this and then you might do that. That's a double Gzeira. That's not Asur. That's Mutter. Hence, Rava allows the Chayat to go out on Erev Shabbos into a Karmelis. What happened to Shavuos to Shavuos? So first Rabbi Akiva making this big chiddush is, we're not talking about a Shavuos Malacha de Rabbanon. We're talking about a Gzera. And that itself has to be understood. But the second chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is that we're talking about an overlap of two Gzeros. Each Gzera in and of itself is valid, is justified, this is a tzorech. But what happens if you overlap the two? So you have to assume that he may do this on Shabbos, and he may, next Shabbos, do it in Rosh Hashanah instead of a Karmel. He made two mistakes. If that be the case, Rabbi Osai, I'm back to square one on Ein Gozer Gzeira in the case of Alos HaOf. You put the oaf on the table together with Gvina. What are we afraid of if you have them both on the table? You can eat them together. So what? Now you have to make another assumption. Well, if he's going to eat oaf together with Gvina, what's he going to eventually do? He's going to even eat what? Basar with Gvina. Here, Rabbi Kibbeke's second category of Ein Gozer and Gzeira should apply. Because what are you talking about? That he's going to make two different mistakes? First mistake is going to be that he's going to eat the oaf with the Gvina because they're both on the same table. And the second mistake is going to be that now that you told him that he's okay with eating oaf with Gvina, tomorrow he's going to go a step further. He's going to say, Maishna oaf, Maishna basa. He's going to eat basa with Gvina. That's another halach of Ein Gozer and Gzeira L'Gzeira. So even if Abaye will solve the first problem, how the Rabbanan had a right to be to institute and enact this Gzeira of halach of oaf, after all, it's only up to a drabbanan of achilas oaf. So you'll say, nay, it was included in the gzeira of what? Of halas basar. And maybe that's what Rashi means according to the Prima Gadol. But I have another problem. I have a problem with this Rabbi Kivei, because Rabbi Kivei is saying there's another category of Ein Gozer and Gzeira L'Gzeira. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Discussion of Rabbi Kivei, you're not about it.
So Rabbi Osai, I want to ask the following question. Are all Gzeiros d'Rabbanan the same? Are they all uniform miksha achas? They're one ilk?
Rabbi Kivega would say no.
Rabbi Kivega certainly would say no, because Rabbi Kivega is saying that in Shvusim on Shabbos, there's something called a Shvus, which is a real Shvus. It's a Malacha d'Rabbanan, like the case of Kalach Ayad, or the case of Shalom Bigduli Kakamafari. And then something called Gzeira. But I want to say the following. Forget about Shabbos for a minute. Call it Tarakula. Maybe there are two types of Gzeiras. There's one type of Gzeira which remains a Gzeira. It always remains a Gzeira. And there's another type of Gzeira where the Rabbanon said that this is the real thing. Meaning, the Rabbanon, they created an Isur, and he extended the Isur Torah.
Isn't that the first end of Rabbi Kivega?
I'm not sure. Rabbi Kivega is talking about Shabbos. I just want to show you that I think the logic of Rabbi Kivega, that distinction, could apply in Shari Suri Torah as well, even to Basa B'chol. What's my proof? The Gemara in Psachim has a discussion about allowing Isuri Hana B'makom Choli. I'll read to you the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Sachim Chafeim Beis Ravina Shayef Lebarte Begukre the Arla." So he took Arla and he used it as a bomb, as some sort of a what's called in English with an S, a salve, whatever it's called. Anyway, to help his daughter who was suffering, it was again a case of Cholish Eimbo Sakon. Because if it was a Cholish Eimbo Sakon, everybody would agree. So the Gemara says, why is this allowed? So the Gemara says, because it's Shalom Kederach Hana'asa. And Shalom Kederach Hana'asa, which is Asur in Isurei Anod Raisa Midra Bonon, they were Matir B'Mokom Chol. Fine. Says the Ran, if you're telling me that because it was Shalom Kedarko, they allowed it B'Mokom Chol, so why not allow every single Issa d'Rabbanan b'makom choli? For example, Klai HaKerem is Asur m'Rabbanan in Chutz Laretz. Did anyone say, well actually somebody did say it, but the Ran rejects it. Would anyone say, says the Ran, that you're allowed to eat Klai HaKerem if you're a Cholish Ein Bo Sakon in Chutz Laretz? Or, for example, Chametz Shavuot and Pesach. Chametz Shavuot and Pesach is asur ba'anah min rabban, like klei kerem and chutzlach. I'm going to be makarit b'makom choli? Says the Ran, for sure not. Why? Because if it's shalok kedarko, then the Ran says we could allow it b'makom choli. Even a doraisa we could allow, like Arla in Eretz Yisrael, Arla chutzlach, which is also a quasi doraisa. But in the case of something that's kedarko, we're not going to allow kedarko for the sake of a makom choli, even in an Issa d'Rabbanan. So the thought occurred to me that maybe what the Ran is trying to tell me is that there are different types of Issuri d'Rabbanan. Sometimes the Issa d'Rabbanan is a gzera, and the Rabbanan instituted gzera. So you could have said that, well, if we allow you to eat Klai Akev in Chutz Laretz, you'll come to eat Klai Akev in Eretz Yisrael. Name, that's not what's going on. It says the Ran, what the Rabbanan did was that they defined Klai Akev in Chutz Laretz as Klai Akev. It's a Cheftz of Klai Akev. It's an Easter Klai Akev. And we're not going to allow an Easter, even if it's the Rabbanan, for the sake of a Chola. Unless it was Shalom Kedarka, like for example the case of Ravina with his daughter in Arla, that's not it. That's not even us in the Rabbana as an Isser of Arla, because the Pu'ul is not a Pu'ul as Hana in the normal way. But if you do a normal Pu'ul as Hana on something that's us in the Rabbana, that's us even B'makom Chol. Why? Because Klai Akev takes on the status of Klai Akev, meaning Chutz Laretz is like Eretz Yisrael.
So what do you say happens when it's not, so someone's in Klai Akev and Chutz Laretz, but it's not Kedarka. So what does that become for you?
No, if it's Shalom Kedarka, then it's Mutter even Klai Akev in Eretz Yisrael for the sake of a Chol. Correct?
Not
for Mokum Chol. Shalom Mokum Chol, and it's Klai Akev in Chutz Laretz.
Chutz Laretz, yeah.
Shalom v'makom choli. So what I'm suggesting is that the Rabbanan said that this is Klai Akev.
It's true to see
even
clearly.
Even Shalom
Kedarka? No. Shalom Kedarka is something different. Shalom Kedarka is even mutter in Klai Akev no raisa. I'm saying that in Chutz Laretz, where the Klai Akev is only the Rabbanan and you're eating a Kedarko, according to the Ran, that is an Iser of Klai Akev. Albeit the Rabbanan, but it's an Iser Klai Akev. If you eat Chametz Shavuot of Pesach, even though it's only Drabbanan, that is Chametz. It has a Shem Chametz to it. And my Nafkamina, we're not going to allow all these heterium of Makom Choli for the sake of Drabbanan. If it was a Gzera Drabbanan, like for example, on Shabbos we have so many Gzeras Drabbanan. I'll give you a list of four of them. Let's say, for example, also Lashmiya Kol B'Shabbos, right? Amir Liakum is also the Rabbanan. Refuah is also the Rabbanan. Mux is also the Rabbanan. In all these cases, B'Makom Choli, it's Mutter. But we said about the cases of Shvus that B'Makom Choli, it's also. I'm sorry, Shalom B'Makom Choli, it's also. And B'Makom Choli, I'm sorry, even B'Makom Choli we said it was also, correct?
So it's like, one is like the Gezerah is to emphasize the importance of Shabbos or the like Shus.
Right, don't do X because it might lead you to Y. But the X is not Osir unto itself. It's only Osir because it's going to lead you, it's going to tempt you to violate. That's called a Gezerah. But then there's something called an Isser Drabbanah. An Isser Drabbanah means that Rabbanah took the original Shem Isser and they expanded it. They gave that to Rabbanan the status of that same Isur.
But why did they do that? It's not what was the concern?
Because what they were doing is what they were taking a Doraisa and extending it. Oh. They weren't changing anything in the Tsuras HaMalacha, the Tsuras HaVera. It's the same identical Tsura. It's not like Shalom Kedarka. But they just took a Doraisa, they extended it. So when the Rabbanan extended, this is what we call, you're familiar with the phrase, called the Tikkun, the Rabbanan came Doraisa Tikkun. That when the Rabbanan make a Takana, they're extending a Doraisa. And when they do so, we have to be more Machmir. We have to say that even B'Makom Choli, it's going to be awesome. Mashankin, if it's Shalom Kedarka, you change the very Tzura, that's only a Gzera. That if you do it Shalom Kedarka today, tomorrow you're going to do it Kedarka. Do you hear the difference?
But why did they make it?
And let me see if I can show you, I demonstrate to you what the difference might be. The question here is, and I'll go back to my question based on Rabbi Kivaker, how could we aser a case of halah of ofim gvin al shulchan echad when you're telling me that he may make a mistake and eat the two together? Okay, so if he eats the two together, that's another gzera. And we said that there's another halacha main goes in gzera in the application. And when matir, when it's an overlap of two gzeras. So how then would it be asur, or why would it be asur, to be malal ashulchan oaf with gvira? You'll tell me, well, he'll make a mistake. He'll make a mistake and he'll eat it. Okay, tomorrow he's going to eat even basar behemoth. According to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that's like the case of Rava in Shabbos Daf Yud Alpha Mipes of Hotzas HaMachad into a caramelist. And we're not afraid of two mistakes. And we apply the principle of Engos in Gzeru L'Gzeru. So I want to suggest that maybe what Abai would say is that Basar Ov is not Gzeru. Basar Ov is Basar B'chol of Midrabon. Just like we said before in the Ran, that Klaya Kerem in Chutzlarts is Klaya Kerem. And just like we said in the Ran, that Chomet Shavu Lava Pesach is Chomet, albeit the Rabbanu, but it's Chomet. So too, Basar Of Becholov is Basar Becholov, albeit the Rabbanu, but it's Basar Becholov. And if it's Basar Becholov, then we upgrade its status such that we can make a Gzera Atu Of. Maybe that's what Abai would be saying. That we're not going to allow you to be mala of and gvina al shulchan, because if we allow you to do so, you'll come to eat of becholov. So you'll ask me, so what if he eats of becholov? That's only also because he might make a mistake. And if you allow him to eat of becholov, he's going to eat bas becholov. Man, that's not why of becholov is also. That may be the original motivation why the chachamim asked of becholov. But the rabbanon made one move, you know, one jump further. And what they said was that Of Becholov is Basa Becholov. Now let me ask you a question. Is Of Becholov Basa Becholov, or is it a separate Gzera? In my mind, that's a clear-cut machlokas. Now it's going to be funny when I say this. It's machlokas in the Rama and the Bach. What are they arguing about? Anybody remember? This is a very, very fun. If you're learning Kabbalah, you have to know this one. Correct. The question, no, not Hanan. The question is whether or not there's an Iser Bishul and an Iser Anah in the case of Basar Of Becholov. If I'm going to tell you that the Rabbanan made a Gzera, maybe they made a Gzera onto the Iker Iser. The Iker Iser is Achila. Everything else is a secondary Iser. The primary Iser is Achila. But if I'm going to tell you that the Rabbanan, when they prohibited Basar Of Becholov, it wasn't just a Gzera. They went a step further. They said Basar Of Becholov is an Iser Basar Becholov. Despite the fact that the Torah is included on the Behemah, is that Memelis can be also with all these Surah of Basar Becholov, including Bishul and Anah. So what I can do here is, and again, this is not satisfactory going to all the Shittas, is I could perhaps suggest that the reason why Abaye would argue that this is not a violation of piling up one mistake on top of the other, the second halach of Ein Goes in Gzeir L'Gzeir that we learned from Rabbi Kivega, the reason for that is because Abai held that Basar Of Becholov is a Cheftz of Basar Of. It's a Cheftz of Basar Becholov. That just like in the case of Chomet Shavu Pesach in the Ran, or the case of Klaya Kevin Chutzlar, comes along Rav Yosef, and he says, well, wait a minute, what about the case of Chalas Chutzlar? It's Chalas Chutzlar, it's the Cheftz of Chalov. It's an Iser Chalov for Vizaris Lilizar. And yet there's no Iser Allah. So you see that even in the case where the Rabbanu went as far as to give it that shame Isur, nevertheless they would not make our Chaka onto an Isur, which is only the Rabbanu. Even though it has a shame of Chalas Chutzlar. Comes along in Abayi and says, basically you're right. The only case where they didn't institute the Gzeir of Allah to Chalas Chutzlar is in Chutzlar where there is no Chalas Eretz Israel. So that's the exception to the rule. And if I was Abaye, I'm just joking, I would have given a different answer to Rabbi Yosef. I would have said that Chalas Chutzlarts is not a Cheftz of Chala. I'll prove it to you. The Gemara says in Masechta Beitza and in other places in Shas that if you're stuck, you're allowed to eat Chalas Chutzlarts and leave a little bit over when you finish it. Right? So you see that there's no din of teva. There's no din of teva in Chalas Chutzlarts. If Chalas Chutzlarts was identical to Chalas Eretz Yisrael, there should have been an Iser Teva. How could you eat it before Afrasha? For example, in Truma Doraisa, if a Tzar would say, I want to eat the Truma, then at the end I'll eat the Teva and then don't worry about it. And myself, I'll be mafrish. Alright, we'll stop here. I'll just say a few words for Chodesh Elul. the parsha, I mentioned this at Achnosa Sefer just recently, so if you were there, you may have heard me. But the parsha that we're going to read this Shabbos in Shoftim imposes upon a melech a mitzvah, which seems to be a popular topic here, Simcha spoke about it before, of a kosev lo es mishnah Torah zos. So Rashi says, a kosev lo es mishnah Torah zos, shtei sifrei toros. Achas shimunachas bebeis gnozov, vi achas shenichneses viyotzeis ima. In the case of a melech, as a leader of Israel, he needs two sifrei Torah. You know, the Sefer Torah Bebeis Gnozov, that's Beino Levein Kono, that's between him and the Ribono Shelo. And in that context, in that relationship, he has to kowtow and he has to accept with awe and with humility the Kedusha Sefer Torah. But then there's a different Sefer Torah. And that's the Sefer Torah that's Yotzeis Ima. Here there's an entirely different mode of Avodas Hashem, entirely different approach. When a melech has to go out with the Sefer Torah, there's no room for humility. You know, you'll find over and over again that Chazal emphasized that humility should not be misplaced humility. There's something called Anova Psula, which is not a Midah Tov at all. Sometimes it's Vayigba Libo V'Darkei Hashem. A person has to be very proud. He has to be unyielding. Rebbe speaks to his son, Rabbi Gamliel, on his deathbed, and he says, Hanig Bahem Midig Nisius, Zrok Morav Talmidim. Rabbi Gamliel, you're going to take over for me as a Nasi B'Yisrael. The Nasi has to be unyielding. He has to be powerful. He has to make a point, and it's a principle, and he's to live up to that principle without yielding. That's what it means for Farhesia when he's out there in the public eye. In the privacy between you and Kono, that's something totally different. That's Beis Gnozov. Beis Gnozov requires Adnov, requires total humility and bittul in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. And I think that if we're starting a Zman here, as a Schadshus of the Kolel, with so many new faces, Baruch Hashem, and we want to really dedicate ourselves on an ethical level, there's a tremendous message here, I think, in the two Sifrei Torah of the leader of Israel. We have to all see ourselves as future leaders of Klal Yisrael. And I don't joke when I say that, because as you and I know, Klal Yisrael are in desperate need of leaders. And leaders doesn't have to mean that you're a paid professional rabbi of a shul. If it does that, that's great. It doesn't have to mean that you're a Rosh Kolel. If you do, that's great. But I'm talking about every single person has an influence on so many people around him. So when you're on your own and you're in privacy, then, as Avraham Avinu says it, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, then who are you in front of the Ribono Shel Olam? You're not even a speck of dust. That's Anova. But when you're out there in the public eye, and we are, Mirtz Hashem, out there in the public eye, and people are looking to us, they're looking to us for as personifications of Limud Torah, they're looking for us as people who could be Mashpia on us, and that's what the Balabatim are looking, and certainly Kal Vachom when you go out and you're on a bus, you're on a train, you're in a car, you're in a taxi. It's very hard. But there you have to live up to a higher standard, and that's called Befarhesya, and that's Yotzeis Imo. And there the Torah has to be on your lips, and the words of Torah has to be clear and emphatic, and you have to make a statement. So my blessing to you and to me and to all of us is that in Yirtz Hashem we take Chodesh Elul, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, it's the month to get closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, and we dedicate the first month of our learning to serious, serious diligence, to Hasmoda, to Midos Tovos, in my mind, that's the order of significance. Number one, it's Hasmoda. Number two, it's Midos Tovos. And number three, it's doing well on your exam. It's Yediyas Sator. That's number three on the list. And not only that, I would say A and B, and then C is down here. Because the Iker Shebikarim in Torah is that Torah should not just be Avodas HaMachshava and Avodas HaMoach, it's got to be Avodas HaLev. And to take the Torah from the Moach down to the Lev requires Hasmoda, requires Midas Torahs. So let's try to be careful about what we say in general, it's certainly what we say in public, or between us and our wives, our family members, and between what do we say amongst ourselves? You know, are we talking and learning? Are we talking? I always remember my father telling me the story. He was learning with his chavrusa, and they were having a good time. They were schmoozing, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was my father's rebbe. He came over to them. He says to them. He called my father Berlev. He says, Berlev, duretz in learning, other vegan learning. The difference is that, you know, we like to talk about the gdol. You know, there are so many things that we can schmooze about. So Rav Moshe said, if you're talking about learning, famach the Gemara. Why? Because if you leave the Gemara open, then you may mislead yourself to thinking that talking about who the gdolim are is the same as learning. So don't fool yourself, he said. So let's try in Mirtz Hashem to be dedicated in our learning and in our Avodas Hashem in general this month, and in Bein Odom L'Chaveiro for sure. And with great Hasmada, you know, lead Klal Yisrael forward. We should have both the Sefer Torah, the Beis Gnoza, Bitznius, and the Anova, and the Beis Gnoza, and the Sefer Torah, that's Yotzeis Imo, leading Klal Yisrael in the path of Torah to bring L'Shem U'Tiferes to all the scriptures. If there's any questions, now's a good time to ask, and I'm not in any rush, so the morning I'm in a rush because I'm busy with the Balabatin. If we could take a census about what time could work out for everybody, and if there's no time that could work for everybody, but if you can give me your first preference and your B'dievin preference, maybe we could work it out that we can find the time that's good for most of us, excellent for some of us, good for most of us, and bad for a few of us.
It's just like the rabbi's point on the two different gazeras. Like
two different categories of gazeras.
Two different categories of gazeras, because they're very like closely related a little bit, but like just the idea is like it sounds like by Chametz on Pesach, by like it's a, like seemingly the machlokus between the Bach and everybody else about
the
is it really meat? It's really meat and milk, whatever. Just like
did the Rabbanan upgrade it to the status of bussel?
So is it like is it about the severity?
Well, they left it as a separate.
Is it about the severity of the iser? Like that's the nature of how the Rabbanan or gozer is about.
No, it works like this. As a general rule, when the Rabbanan make an expansion, then it's called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Rice, so they give it to the very same Isser. So for example, Chametz Midrash is only Asr at the end of the 6th hour, the beginning of the 7th hour. The Rabbanan Asr at the beginning of the 6th hour. That's real Chametz. For example, that Chametz is Asr B'Hanah. If he's Makadosh and Isha during the 6th hour with Chametz, is Ein Choshin L'Kiddushin. Then there's another thing, and that's Chametz during the 5th hour. Chametz during the 5th hour is a separate Gzera. The Gemara says that he might confuse the 5th hour with the 7th hour, and it's also. So there the Mishnah says that it's Mutar B'Hanah. He's allowed to feed the Chametz to his animal. That's not real Chametz. So if you take a look in the Brisker Rav, for example, he has a whole piece on this, the difference between Chametz in the 5th hour. The Rambam seems to imply that if you take Chametz in the 5th hour and you're Mekadesh and Isha, she's Mekudeshes. And the question is why? So some say because it's Mutar B'Hanah, but that's complicated. You know, he's giving us something that's also Bachila and Mutar B'Hanah, maybe. But Rav Brisker Rav takes a whole different approach in which he says that Chametz is only Chametz in the 6th hour. You know, before that it's a separate Gzera. We're afraid that if you eat this, but don't call it Chametz. It doesn't have the tripping and the trappings of Chametz. It's not also Bachila. It's also Bachila, but it's not also Banah, and it's called Mammon, and then you can feed it to your animal and the whole business. So that's what I'm wondering, where to place and how to categorize Basar Of Pachal. Is it a Cheft of Basar Pachal Midra Banon, or no, it's a separate Gzera?
Means about how closely related it is to the actual Isser.
Right. Did they take the original Shem Isser, that status name, and extend it by expanding the scope of Basar B'Cholov? Or did they just say, you know what, if you eat Basar B'Cholov, Basar Of B'Cholov, we're afraid that tomorrow you're going to eat Basar Behemoth. So stay away from it. If it's only staying away from it, okay, tell me not to eat it, but don't tell me I can't put it on the shulchan with my Gvina, because then I'm going to have to make two mistakes. From Halah, I'm going to get to Achila, and from Achilas Of, I'm going to get to Achilas Behemoth. According to Rabbi Kivega, that would be a violation of Ein Gozer Gzeir L'Gzeir. But if on the other hand, you upgrade it from the status of Gzeir, gzeira to the status of an isa basa b'chol mamish, then I think we could solve the problem with Rabbi Kimi.
What is it I could do though? I just remember my experience, not so fast, but Rav's favorite answer for gzeira is that it was all one gzeira, which is kind of like a halakha we today.
Well, that was the first mile before Rabbi Kimi.
I was bothered by it. I understand. Once you say it's all one gzeira, I get that in theory there's two mistakes, so who cares? It's one gzeira. You know what I'm saying?
Again, it's true, you're right. They could have license as a tzorech to institute a halal with this, but it still irritates that other principle of Rabbi Kivega, that even when each gzera, like for example, lo yotzi chayot be'erev Shabbos and tiltul be'karmel, each one of those gzeras are justified unto themselves, but yet Rabbi Kivega assumes that when they overlap, we don't answer it, because it requires making two mistakes. And that's the only way Rabbi Kivega could justify Rava. We pass like Rava against Abaye, that this is not a violation of Shvus l'Shvus, because they're two gzeres. And basically, according to Rabbi Kivega, the Machat situation and the Karmel situation is not to be placed into the category of Melecha Shabbos. It's not Melecha Shabbos. It's like Chometz in the fifth hour, not Chometz in the sixth hour. It's a whole new entity of a gzera. Says Rabbi Kivega, okay, you have one gzera, and then you get afraid of another gzera. So how far removed are you going to get until you answer it all? So Rav is matter.
But doesn't the first answer still deal with it? Because there's a chilek, because at the end of the day, the Rabbanim were gozer as one gzera.
So that's what I'm going to say, that the Rabbanim being gozer on one gzera only solves one problem. How do they have the heter of litzorech to enact the gzera? But there's another problem when they overlap. So for example, if you'll...
Where's the raya that's involved in the overlap? I'm saying the raya we're taking in the overlap from Amar and Shabbos is that they are two gzeras. Show me there's a problem with it when there's a problem in the overlap when it's all one gzera.
I see what you're saying. You're saying that there's no real proof from Rabbi Kivega, because Rabbi Kivega is talking about a case of an overlap of two gzeres. And here we solved the problem of two gzeres by saying that it's all part of Allah. Just one second. Yeah, but let's go slowly. In the case of Basa Behemoth, we're saying that if he puts him on the Shulchan, it's going to lead him to what? It's going to lead him to eat it together, correct? Now what are you saying? You put Basar Of on the table, and it's going to lead him to eat them together. So that was exempt. Again, well, what difference does it make? I mean, that only allows you to make the Gzera, but nevertheless, right, it's going to lead you to eating the oaf. I think Rabbi Kivega would still say
putting the oaf on the same table is going to lead you to eating the behemoth.
Rabbi Kivega will still insist that unless you upgrade this gzera to the status of an isur derabbanan, then it's not enough just to say that it was one gzera, because again, it's one gzera that requires it doesn't matter if it's a coincidental overlap, or if it's always going to be that overlap. It's an overlap of two different gzeres in terms of the befall of it, not in terms of the original gzeres. Right. So I'm saying in Hilchus application, what I call, you know, that's in the befall, what you're going to have to assume is that he's going to go from X to Y and from Y to Z. I mean, that's gzeral gzera.
But you can't. Yeah. But I'm saying if the pirchas is to the mechanism gzera gzera, there is no pircha, because at the end of the day, the Rabbanin integrated.
Again, but it's a whole different concept. I mean, we're just borrowing the term en gozer gzera gzera. En gozer gzera gzera means in the way they formulated the gzera, they enacted the gzera. So they can't enact the gzera or to a gzera. But we're saying it's a whole different halacha. In Rabbi Kivega, when you have an overlap of lo yotze achaya together with tiltul the karmelis, even if each gzera is justified unto itself, but now you're going to have to assume two things. That's already archokim and archokah. Now we can be matir. Then that's Rava. I mean, that's Rava. So you're saying that Rava would only be matir it, what? Because it was two separate gzeras. I don't know. I think the logic is that it's already archokah onto another archokah. All right, we'll see. Take a look. We'll think about it. All right, then? All right, good.